A lover of jewelry and all of its intricacies, Mel has always been a proponent of reimagining a classic and telling a story through exquisitely designed pieces. Melanie's journey to jewelry started as a passion and a curiosity, and after attending countless metalsmith classes, she was guided toward what would soon become her career, creating modern yet nostalgic jewelry. Travel is a key element in sparking inspiration and new ideas into Melanie's designs. Exploration allows her to refresh and rejuvenate, creating space to put her process in motion and connect to new people and places that will inevitably inform her designs. It wasn't until after years of traveling and living abroad that she settled down in Vancouver with her husband and two children, realizing then that designing jewelry was her passion. In 2013, her namesake, Melanie All Jewelry, was born, a collection of fine and demi-fine pieces that ignite connection and mark meaningful moments, both big and small. Each item showcases the power of storytelling and the people and places we meet along the way. Hi, I'm so happy you're here. My name is Nicole Krohn, and I am the host of our podcast here at My Align Purpose. I co-founded this company back in the spring of 2020 alongside Kayla Pilecki. You'll get to hear from her every Thursday when we bring you on our famous, highly requested Biz Besties episodes. I trust that you've landed here or keep coming back because you are looking for inspiration and motivation from a real human. And that is my intention. In the 4 years of growing this podcast, I have had the incredible opportunity to support over 1,000 women, yes, thousands, through our courses and coaching programs. I wasn't always an entrepreneur, though. In fact, I was really bought into the societal way of doing things. Go to school, work for someone else, work hard and long, and then retire at 65. Thankfully, my life had a good shakeup in my early 30s, and everything has been drastically different since. What you can expect from this podcast is conversations that make you feel like you're sitting down, lounging with me. We've got coffees and comfy clothes, talking about all things mindset, manifestation, entrepreneurship, marketing and messaging, bringing spirituality into our life and business, and so much more. Come along this wild ride where I tell you stories about writing a best-selling book, starting a business and scaling it to 7 figures in the first 3 years, stories of failure and heartache, and everything in between. So turn those notifications on, grab your headphones and your favorite bevy, and let's hang out every Monday morning together. Oh, and one last thing that I want you to know is I'm a regular, everyday human just like you. So if I can live out my dreams of being a chart-topping podcaster, you can live out yours too. I've got you.
Find out the fastest way to grow your business without sacrificing more time or adding more one-on-one clients now. Go to myalignpurpose.com/quiz and get your result.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode on My Align Purpose, the podcast. Today, we have a really special guest, Melanie Auld. And I know that a lot of you know of Melanie's jewelry line because we've gifted it to you. I think over the years, Kayla and I have purchased well over 100 of these necklaces, and can't wait to introduce you, Melanie. I've got my OG Melanie Auld necklace on. It has a little ram on one side, and then it says aligned in purpose in the other for Aries. And Kayla gifted this to me 4 years ago, and I was like, what is this jewelry line? And then we became obsessed. And then I have all my Melanie Auld necklaces. I gifted one to my mom this year.
Oh, thank you. I'm super excited to be here. And obviously, thank you for all your support. That's amazing. I actually didn't know that, but
yeah, we gift a Melanie Auld custom necklace to every year-long client that we have as a welcome. Thank you for being here with us. And they choose their word of the year, and then we have it engraved onto the necklace.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, we've been doing that since 2021. So anyways, I can't wait for everybody to hear your story. Melanie, why don't you share with us, where are you calling in from and what are you grateful for today?
I am in Vancouver, BC. I've lived here for the last, I guess it's almost 12 years now after bouncing around quite a bit. And I'm just honestly grateful for my health, my family's health, being able to move our bodies and just like being active, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, health's always at the top of the list for me as well.
It is. Yeah.
Okay. So you're in Vancouver. Is that where you're from? Born and raised?
No, I was born and raised in Thunder Bay, Ontario, actually. And then I left when I was 19 to go to college. I took fashion merchandising, and then I got married really young. I was 21.
Okay.
And my husband played hockey professionally. So we moved around a lot for the first, I would say, like 12 years of our marriage.
Okay. And then settled in Vancouver. Beautiful. Yeah. We're over here on the island. So that maybe starts to, that's a good segue into a question that I always love to ask people, because you probably don't know this, Melanie, but I used to be a high school teacher. And what I saw in that journey of teaching high school students was that there was so much stress when it came to grade 12 and deciding, okay, what do you want to do for the rest of your life? Let's help you pick a school, make that big decision. And I can even recall myself, I graduated 20 years ago, but I can still recall that I don't know what I want to do. I want to travel around the world. Like, where do I go to school for that? And so when I think back to where I was at 18 and the journey I went on to be a school teacher and do that for a good portion of my career, and now here I am as a business coach and podcast host, the journey has been, it's been a journey for me. And so I'm so curious to know, if we were to flash back to 18-year-old Melanie, did you see that this is where your career path would take you, or what has that looked like?
Yeah. The short answer is hell no. I had no clue what I wanted to do. In Ontario, we have OACs. So like I don't actually know if they still have it, but so you actually have like grade 13. If you want to go to university, I think college, you could stop at grade 12. But my parents told me that if there was a program that was available at either of the two, like the university in Thunder Bay, which is Lakehead, or the college, which was Confederation College, if there was a program I wanted to take that was available there, I couldn't leave. So I just picked a program that wasn't available
there. That's hilarious.
I picked fashion, mainly because I was interested in it, but I had no idea what I wanted to do. And I just knew, I thought there was a bigger world out there to explore, and I just wanted to get out. I loved Thunder Bay. It was a great, like, I had a great childhood experience, but I just always felt like there was something more out there for me. So yeah, I picked fashion because it got me to where I wanted to go. And then I went to Fanshawe, which was in London, Ontario, and just never looked back after college. I got engaged my last year of college. We moved to Winnipeg. He was playing on the Canucks farm team. And I just wanted something of my own. I just knew that it wasn't going to be fulfilling enough for me. As much as like you want to be supportive of your spouse, you also want to achieve your dreams and goals. So I knew I had to find something to call my own.
And then when you originally said, okay, I want to go into fashion, at that time, was the idea of jewelry a thing, or like, where did that start to come into the picture?
So I originally had wanted to be a buyer, which I feel like everybody in fashion wants to be. It sounds really fun. I've since discovered from working with buyers at Nordstrom and bigger companies that it's maybe not as glamorous as I thought. But when we lived in Winnipeg, I worked for a woman who owned a store. It was called Girl Candy Shop. And she used to do personal shopping for a lot of women in Winnipeg. And she had an assistant who was a jewelry designer, a metalsmith, and she would sell her jewelry in the store. And I always felt, oh, I love that. I think I could do that. I loved like being creative with my hands. And when we were in Winnipeg, and I started just like beading and wire wrapping and things like that, as that was all I knew how to do. But when we moved to Vancouver, I was able to go to some metalsmithing classes because I could see all these like designs and ideas in my head, but I just didn't know how to execute them. I didn't have the capabilities of being a metalsmith at that point. I just took courses and started learning and bought a workbench.
Wow. And so how long has Melanie All Jewelry been a company?
So it gets a little tricky because I opened the company at, I believe I was 23, but not the company it is today. So because I ended up opening it when we lived in the US, I had a previous company to this. So there's a lot of experience and things learned from that previous company that I was able to take into Melanie All Jewelry, like what it is today here in Canada. And so this company I opened in 2013 when my husband retired, and it was like my turn to really turn it up.
Yeah, your turn to shine and really go all in. And 2013, is only 11 years ago. It also feels like a lifetime ago. Yeah. For the people who are listening and hearing like what is possible in a 10-year time span, what would you say have been some of the highlights of having this business over the last little over a decade?
There's been so many. It's so hard to pull any few things, but I would say growing an amazing team has been a huge highlight. Opening our own retail stores was a really big moment for myself personally, because I really love interiors. So the idea of being able to design a space that our customer can come in and experience, not just like being able to try on the jewelry, but be immersed in the world I want them to be in while they're exploring the jewelry, has been really fulfilling. And being able to have our staff be able to speak to, if you came in and you wanted a certain type of jewelry, or we knew where you were wearing it, how you were wearing it. The education piece of jewelry is actually really important, because you need to know what you're buying. So if you're buying a plated piece, a vermeil piece, it means you don't want to be like working out in it. You don't want to be showering in it. I think it's just like really important to be transparent. And I found it was a lot more difficult when we were in other stores, say in Nordstrom or an Anthropologie. Like, most of their sales staff, I'm sure, does an amazing job, but not everybody knows to tell the customer exactly what they're purchasing. So I really felt it was important for us to have our own boutiques where we could educate our customer and connect with them.
Yeah, exactly. Passing along that, the people who work within Melanie Auld loving the brand as much as you do, whereas somebody might work at Anthropologie for their part-time job and not really know or care to explain like where and when this jewelry should be worn. So I can see like how that would make a big difference to have your own storefront where you get to be in control of what people know about your product. When you think about the last 10 years, what have been some of the hardest parts of all of it?
I think that I'm a creative at heart. So even though I said that the team was also such a big, inspiring success, it's also one of the things that I find personally the most difficult. Being a creative, being a bit of an introvert, I didn't get into this to manage people per se. So I do find that to be the most difficult, because it is like really emotionally taxing for me sometimes. But I've been trying to be better about delegating that, the things I'm not good at, to people who are good at those things.
Yeah, absolutely. In our journey, that's what we're always learning, is like, delegation is a gift. And like, when it can be done really well and people can know their place and their role, it can make everything go so much more smoother. And there's also, I think as women too, there's so much to be said about learning that delegating is coming from a place of boundaries, but oftentimes people feel bossy or bitchy or whatever it might be. And it's, these are just the rules, explaining it from a place of being boundaried. And so that kind of leads me to wonder, are you somebody who's into self-development, personal development? Like, are you reading books, listening to podcasts of how to up your leadership or have stronger boundaries or not take things personally?
I feel like I'm really good at boundaries. And I think that's just come with age and realizing that if I don't set these for myself, my team also doesn't set them for themselves. And that if I'm completely drained, I have nothing left to give to anybody. I think boundaries is probably something that I don't need too much work on, but I do think we did, just coming out of, actually in the middle of COVID, we had a huge boom online. So we had to hire staff when our like executive team wasn't really in the office. And for the longest time, our team was so small that it was really easy to translate company culture, because everybody was around me all the time. So they knew how I was. They knew what was expected. They knew how I wanted to run the company. But I think when the pandemic hit and we had an influx of hires, I started to realize that the company culture was getting away from us a little bit. And so we did hire, Threefold is the company, and they just helped us get really clear on our mission, vision, and values for our company, so that we could communicate that to any new employee coming in, like what to expect when you work at MAJ. And through that, there was a lot of like self-development that was happening actually for both myself and my husband. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because it translated not just in work, but it like translated all the way into our personal lives to like the way that we react to conflict or the way that, you know, we step back from things and think about them a little bit more. I think it was a huge light bulb moment for me.
I love that. I think too that the when we can take the good pieces from work into home, and Brené Brown says that the expectation is so old and dated of you're one person at work and then you go home and you're another person and don't bring work home and don't bring home to work and these sorts of things. And she's like, we're all encompassing humans that I am my husband's wife and I am a business coach and I am all these things. And the line is pretty thin between who I am at work and who I am with my husband. And I think when we,
especially if you work together.
Yes. There's that. My husband and I are both self-employed. Oftentimes we're both in the house, in our home office, that sort of thing. And him and I have these conversations a lot about how this is the healthiest relationship we've ever been in. And I think it is because we're both so committed to doing that work to be better business owners, which then in turn makes us better human beings and better communicators. So sounds like it's a win all around.
Yeah. I felt like the biggest thing for me was when they were teaching us to be in, are you in choice or are you in reaction when something is happening? Because I think I lived in reaction a lot emotionally, like something would happen and I would just feel like I needed to react and make a quick decision and get it out. And it taught me that I lived in reaction a lot rather than choice, where I could sit back and think about how I was going to handle a situation, or like, why did that trigger me? What is it? It might not necessarily be that person and what they said. It might actually be something in me that I need to figure out before I respond.
Yeah. And that awareness is like such a superpower. And I'm sure I heard you say maybe even before we hit record something about having a son. So I'm sure it translates into how you parent as well.
It definitely does. And it's really interesting to interact with people now when you can realize when somebody is not in choice, when they are in reaction. And it actually just allows you to give them a little bit more grace because you're more understanding of where they're coming from. Because not like everything's perfect. I'm sure I still react to things, but I'm just a little bit more aware of that now.
I think one of the greatest gifts too of being a business owner that commits to doing the self-development work and how it affects our relationships with other people outside of work is this ability to be able to truly listen and then ask a genuine question from a place of curiosity rather than assuming that we're right or always having an opinion. I think that there's such a difference of who I was 15 years ago versus now of I have the answer, hear my answer, whereas I can just listen, ask a question, and then find out again with a bit more grace of where are you coming from and why are you thinking that? And
I think that part is super helpful. I find the most difficult thing is when somebody doesn't want to communicate. I don't know how to proceed if you're trying to listen and you're trying to understand, but the person you're speaking with doesn't really want to communicate. And I find that sometimes just as the power dynamic of an employee potentially not knowing exactly where you stand or where you're coming from. And I understand that it can maybe be scary to be able to voice your opinion or
give feedback.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. And I think it requires a lot of skill set to be able to run a company, especially like you said, if you're wired to be a bit more introverted, you didn't sign up initially to be running a team of people. You were going after your passion of creating. And I think that's just a lot of the name of the game. A lot of us come into business with the initial, this is my desire, passion. Then all of a sudden you're your social media manager and all these sorts of things in the beginning until eventually you can grow a team. But that is a challenge that I know a lot of people face. And so I think it's important to hear it from somebody like yourself as well, who has this really successful business that, of course, that's not what you originally signed up to do. And it's something you're willing to learn along the way.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find that balance because I still need to have time to like design, and I take a lot of our like flat lay photography, and there's all this world of things that really interest me. So it's just finding the balance between how involved do I get into that side when there's people who like spend so much time and have so much awareness and it's a huge interest to them. I'm doing it because I feel like I should and I want to a certain degree, but I also think it takes away from the creativity if I'm involved all the time and everything that's going on.
Yeah, pulling you out of your zone of genius. So, what that actually, I think, is something that I know I'm so curious about. And I know when I was chatting to a lot of our clients, knew that I was having you on this podcast. And we were talking about what inspires you? Where do you get your inspiration to create your jewelry? What is your process? Do you, for example, do you take a trip somewhere, get inspired by nature, come home, and then create? What is your process of all of this?
Yeah, I think it changes a lot. I'm inspired, honestly, by so many things. It's gone from like fashion magazines to travel to like homes and interiors and how that can translate into other objects. When it comes to collections, I really just need a little bit of peace and like time to not be on almost. I like not having to check, not feeling like the emails need to be answered. So I tend to do a lot of designing from home where I can spread out magazines or honestly, sometimes just scroll on the internet. I also love travel. And if somebody could let the Canadian government know that it should be an expense, that would be fantastic. But currently it's not. So it's not like I can just pick up and leave and go travel whenever I want the inspiration, but I do draw from past experiences. And I think my team's really good at just if this is the week that we block some time off, and if that's my week to just sit down and design, then I really just immerse myself in that world because I find I just get really distracted by business on like comings and goings and people asking questions. And I just feel like I'm really bad at leaving things. So if I see that there's a bunch of emails coming in, I feel like I need to answer them. So it's really a conscious choice to like take the week, shut the computer down, and
Yeah, it's like you sound like you're wired very much like me, which is a true visionary. And then there's those like integrator, implementer people out there. I know for myself to get ideas, I have to have blank space. And oftentimes people ask me, like, where'd you come up with that idea or that thing? I didn't find it by looking at somebody else's thing or listening to something else. I needed to truly just be alone, go for a walk, journal, meditate, something. And then the answer comes to me.
I feel
And
like walking is big for me too.
yeah, I was just going to
With
say,
creativity,
what gives you your fuel? It's so walking.
I think like moving my body to a certain degree. Sometimes even when it's like problem solving, if things are difficult at work, if I can just go for a walk or actually listen to a podcast of another female founder or something like that, I think it just allows my mind to wander and be a little bit free to think of a way to pivot almost. But yeah, I just feel like there's so many places and the inspiration, if you're open to it, it comes from so many different experiences.
Yeah, if you're open to it and then trusting, right? Trusting that with a blank calendar for a week and close down the laptop, that's
Yeah.
okay. Business will keep running.
Yeah. Yes. You have to have good people in place to be able to do that. So I get at the beginning, that's not really the easiest of things.
Yeah, absolutely. What is the, I don't know if I want to say predicted trend for the rest of 2024, because maybe you don't go by trends, maybe you're setting your own trend, but what's the vision for MAJ for the upcoming seasons?
So it's been like an interesting, probably I would say year and a half for us. Our stores were just like flying high for so long, and our online was pretty just even. We were just staying even. And then it's flip-flopped now. We've talked to a lot of people on like our streets, other retailers, and they felt like retail traffic has slowed. And like for us, it just made me another walk moment. You just start thinking like, okay, what is this telling me? And to me, it felt, let's go back to the things that I'm most excited about and our customer was like most excited coming to us for. And so that kind of led me back to, it's funny that you mentioned the personalized kind of necklace, because for me, that is the most exciting part of jewelry, is actually coming up with something unique for our customer that they can put together that really speaks to them and their story and their life and their aesthetic. And it's not just some like ready-made necklace that you might buy and then 15 of your friends have the exact same one. I love the idea that you can come in and there's like a selection of amazing chains in all different styles, and all the different styles appeal to different personality types or people. And then that you can customize pendants with engraving or like a horoscope, or if there's like a mantra or some like, we have a protection pendant, things that actually mean something, whether like you're buying it for yourself or gifting it to somebody. So for this year, we really leaned back into those launching those collections that allow our customer to add those special touches and pieces to their chains so that everybody gets their own personalized piece. So that's what I'm really excited about. And then we do tennis bracelets and necklaces. When we launched them, they had just been like, it was crazy. People are really into tennis necklaces and bracelets and everything right now. And I had really wanted to be able to do a version that was looked just like our fine 14 karat, like that you could not tell the difference. And I tried for a really long time to create that, but unfortunately it wasn't hitting the mark for me. But we've actually found a factory who is able to do molds for our fine, but in sterling silver. And oh, awesome. I'm pretty excited for what we have upcoming. It's going to be launching. They're all going to be launching different mini collections, I would say, over the next 6 months. And I think people are going to love what they look like. The price point and the quality is just beautiful.
Oh, we'll keep our eyes open. Just to paint you a deeper picture of the personalized necklaces, in that, yes, we've been doing this for 4 years. It's for a year-long program. So there's been over 100 so far. What we do is we do a 2-hour visioning night in December. And our new to us clients don't know that they're going to get this necklace. We have a lot of repeat clients. So then they know, oh, I know that I'm going to get a necklace after this. But we take them through this 2-hour visioning experience where they really reflect on the previous year. They really get into the energy of the year ahead. And then at the end of all of it, there's one word that encompasses that whole journey. And then we reach out to your team and have all the necklaces made. And then they're shipped to everybody, and we tell everybody you're going to get a package in the mail, but don't open it until January 6th, the first Friday of the month. We come together and we do a big like kickoff day. And then we tell everybody, take that package and open it up. And when people see their word on their necklace, like I feel emotional about it. The necklaces are, they're in Switzerland, they're in New Zealand, they're in Australia, they're across the States, they're across Canada. And people are like, you thought to take my word and put it on a necklace for me. And then we get on Zoom and we just see everybody with a sea of their gold necklaces with their words. And it's just, I think it's really amazing that your company provides that, because a word can carry so much meaning.
Thank you for that. I'm touched to hear that story. I feel like it's so beautiful. And I think you're right. I feel like you can have this word in your mind, but to see it in the physical and be able to like be reminded of it all the time is really powerful. Mm-hmm. And I think jewelry has always been that way. It's a bit of either armor if you need it, or like memories, or like putting a thought, or what's the right word, to putting something out into the universe. Like,
yeah.
I just think it can be such a powerful reminder.
Yeah, I agree. And I think about like my sister tried to conceive for over 3 years, and she just had her baby
8 months ago. And so when we saw my mom at Christmas time, we got her a necklace that said Nanny on it. And it was like, she wanted to be called Nanny for so long. And then to open that necklace up with that word, and that's just it. Like, my parents live in Nova Scotia, so she can look at that and be reminded of like, this, I've upgraded from mom to nanny now, and upgrade. And the necklaces are just so cool to be able to do that. Okay. So as we start to come to a little bit of towards the end of this episode, before we go, I do want to ask a couple of more things. And one of them is, as a visionary, what's the big vision? Do you see that you will always, the company is your name, so maybe you do sell it, I don't know, but do you see that you step into other worlds? What's the bigger vision that you can see at this moment?
Yeah, I feel like there's so many different ways that this could go. I don't think we'll ever sell the company. I think there are a lot of women in place currently who I feel would be amazing to step into bigger roles. And I do think that there's a point in time where I'm going to want to travel and explore other sides of like business, potentially other categories, but for that to happen, it feels, I need a little bit of time. Our kids are still like 16 and 12. So my thought is, there are some ladies who I feel like could really run things, and I could potentially be there creatively and most of the time, but I would love to see people grow into like more, they already have very important roles at the company, but step into their power a little bit more.
Yeah. And roles that stretch them.
Yeah. And I think there are people who would be very into that. So it looks a little up in the air in terms of like, where do our kids end up? If we're talking the next 10 years, I think one of the most important things as I've aged within the business is to really reevaluate what success looks like to you. And it's not going to look the same at 43 that it looked at 30. So I'm really conscious of reevaluating that a lot and making sure that we have the right people in place so that if I want to have another adventure and like still have a huge impact on the company, I can, because there's people in place for me to take a bit of a step back.
Yeah, absolutely. Setting yourself up strategically to continue to have success and impact and be able to support other people to grow, and then also be open to what gets to come your way in the next little bit.
Yeah, I think I will never not work.
Same.
It's such a big part of my personality and who I am, but I also would love to be able to concentrate. I work with BC Women's. I sit on one of their emerging equity. I always get this wrong because it is a mouthful. Let me think about it. Health Emerging Equity Leadership Circle. It took me, like, I've been on the board for, I don't know, a year and a bit, and it's taken me until now to be able to say it out loud. But women's health is just so severely underfunded. And that is something that I just feel really passionate about. And so we work with them. I'm on that board, but then at MAJ, we also work with them to raise funds every year. So I'd like to lean into that a little bit more. Amazing. There's just a lot of interest out there.
Yeah. Oh, that makes me think about, I have this friend, Randy, he's an acquaintance, and he started, his business is Go Big to Give Big. And his idea is, if you want your business to generate $1 million, aim to generate 2 and give $1 million away. And that as companies, when we have an organization or a charity that we're committed to supporting, that also, the whole Tom's model of, you're going to buy a pair of shoes and a pair is going to be donated, having that messaging and that whole idea incorporated into MAJ, I think is just so powerful, because then if people are like, oh, I'm buying a necklace, and then somewhere along the way, I'm supporting women's health, it connects the dots for the buyer to just be like, oh, I also have more impact here too.
Yes. Honestly, it's just really hard sometimes to get all the messaging out there all the time. So
totally. Yeah.
And there's this weird feeling for me of wanting to do good, but not wanting to scream it from the rooftops and have it feel salesy and weird. So we just walked the line of it, because when a business is like screaming about all the things that they're doing, it just starts to feel disingenuous. So it's a little bit difficult to you want your customer to know and that understand who you are and understand the business that they're buying from and why they're buying from you. But it's just like difficult sometimes to make sure it doesn't.
And I think what you all do really well is interpret your values. And I think that the values don't have to say, and we donate this amount of money to whatever. It's just like you're giving and you're generous, and that's enough for people to like even just know from showing up to the store and on the brand. Like, you don't even have to, I don't even mean you, for anybody listening, we don't have to, like you said, display or shout it from the rooftops. I think oftentimes when people come to our businesses, they get a sense of what our values are by how we act and show up. And that is always going to be more powerful than words and messaging.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
The actual personal connection of it.
Yeah, totally. Okay, last question is, if any ideal person out in the world could hear about MAJ and be wearing your jewelry, and then everybody knew that this person, they were like, where'd you get that? And they said, Melanie All Jewelry, who would that person be for you?
This is going to be the most cliche thing ever.
Oprah?
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift. Oh, okay.
My daughter and I I listened to her before my daughter was born, but ever since she was like 2 or 3, we had been to like 3 of her concerts, and we like sing her We Love All Too Well 10-minute version, singing in the car together all the time. And I know she's like really blown up, so I feel like everybody is probably on this train right now. But I just love her as a storyteller and as a really strong example to girls and women. And yeah, I just love what she stands for.
I feel like so many people say Oprah, and then in the last little while, Taylor Swift has become the new Oprah.
I'm basic.
I got to see Taylor Swift this summer, and it was what dreams were made of. My sister and I went to see her in Seattle in July. My sister was 8 months pregnant, and we were like,
I did too.
Wasn't it amazing?
Did you see?
We went on the Sunday night. So it was her second night.
Yeah. We went on the first night, and I just felt like open air, beautiful evening, all these people like coming together, just, I don't know, everybody loving her so much, singing at the top of her lungs. Like, I've never felt energy like that before.
That's what I said. I was like, I know I should say my wedding was the best day of my life, and arguably going to Taylor Swift is rivals. It's pretty close. It was such an incredible experience.
Yeah. My daughter still says to me, she'll look at me and just be like, that was the best day of my life. And she's 12, and she's like putting her arm around me and we're singing. And it was like, yeah, it was magic.
Yeah. Okay, so Taylor Swift, we need to get her in some MAJ and then see what happens. Yeah.
And she's coming to Vancouver now. I can't afford to go to her concert, but I'd love her to get in the store.
Yeah, I'm sure that you can make some magic happen.
I can't doubt it, but we'll give it a go.
Yeah, we'll give it a go. Just like sneaking jewelry like around the venue. Like, somebody get in there and get this on her. Yeah.
If anybody is listening and works at, is it BC Place or Rogers Arena?
I think it's Rogers Arena.
Hit me up. I'm gonna get stuff in her dressing room.
Yeah. Okay. We'll make this happen. All right, Melanie, this has been awesome. Why don't you let everybody know where we can find you? Obviously, everything will be linked into the show notes. If you're listening to this, you don't have to get out a pen and paper. It will all be there. Where are you at on socials? And is there any upcoming launches that people should know about? And we'll just make sure that we get these things linked into the show notes.
Yeah, we have a location in Toronto in Ossington, and then we also have a location in Vancouver in Kits on 4th. We are at Melanie All Jewelry on Instagram, melanieall.com. And if you want to follow me personally, my Instagram is just at Melanie All.
Okay.
Collection-wise, we have a launch with Jillian Harris coming up on Monday. It's called the Unlocked Collection. It's a bunch of like little keys and locks that you purchase for yourself and then gift out to the people that unlock something in you. But I think it's actually launching early tomorrow to her subscriber list. So I guess this is probably airing way after that. So
yeah, this will be a couple of weeks, but we'll make sure that we keep directing people back to look. And like you said, at what's coming up with different launches and more of the personalized stuff, and keeping an eye out for the other line that you mentioned to keep it like the tennis.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But yeah, thank you so much for having me, and obviously for your support over the however many years you've been buying those necklaces to gift to your clients. I didn't know that. And I love that story.
Yeah. You're so welcome. Everybody listening knows this, but we co-own this company together, and we have three values that we stand strong by that we run our company. And one of them is generosity. And from day one, we were like, we want to be genuine and give something that has meaning. And I do believe that your necklaces and the words definitely portray that. And so thanks for your gift, because it's look at us go, just women out here following our dreams.
Yeah, into it.
Thank you so much for being here today. And thanks everybody for tuning in and listening. And we'll be back next week with another episode.
Find out the fastest way to grow your business without sacrificing more time or adding more one-on-one clients now. Go to myalignpurpose.com/quiz and get your result.
Find out the fastest way to double your clients without sacrificing more of your time or adding more one-to-ones. While you're over there delivering results one-to-one, you don't have the time to get back to your people, to sell to them, to book them in, and to solve their problems. Or when you do have the time, those results take weeks. There's nothing instant about that access. By the time that we finish this live training, you're going to be so clear on how to provide the solution when people want it. And the hint here is that it's instantly. The key to your thriving business is having your solution ready to go. Open the door to more people working with you and your clients getting great results. Next Thursday, May 16th, myself and Kayla are going to guide you to create your valuable offer that people can buy anytime, anywhere. We're going to support you to tweak your messaging so that you can speak directly to those who need this offer and solve their problem. And we're going to teach you how to facilitate this on your own timeline or entirely passively. Plus, we're going to pull back the curtain on one of the things that is essential to calling in more clients and that you're likely leaving out. You're not going to want to miss this. Again, Thursday, May 16th at 12 p.m., you can head to myalignpurpose.com/double, as in doubling your results, doubling your income. myalignpurpose.com/double. Register now so that you can get access to this live training.